Melbourne's Western Health put out a message today about emergency departments in Sunshine, Footscray and Williamstown hospitals being under extreme pressure. Please do not attend the ED unless absolutely necessary, it pleaded. Various governments are offering assurances that their systems will cope with what's to come, but some independent experts are worried. One thing we do know is hospital workers are already exhausted and increasingly short-staffed, as more and more of them are isolated due to COVID. Michelle Rosentreter is a senior ICU nurse at a major metropolitan hospital and a member of the New South Wales Nurses and Midwives Association. She told me earlier she has suspected COVID, but has been under pressure to return to the ward.
So I'm currently on isolation and I'm still within the 7 days of close contact with my daughter testing positive. And I've got very mild symptoms, so I haven't been able to return to work even under the change in the guidelines for asymptomatic staff returning to work.
Did your work ask you to go back?
They have. They've been. I wasn't even in isolation for 1 day before the phone call started to return to duty.
Even though your daughter's positive?
Yeah, I was mildly symptomatic and my daughter was grossly symptomatic and positive. And my PCR test hasn't still been returned yet. So, no, I haven't returned to work or returned to duty.
You declined. For concerns
of, I declined, yeah.
Do you think you've got COVID?
I think I might have a very mild case of COVID, yes.
The fact that your work is urging you to return really sums up the position that health policy decision makers are in. They need frontline health staff at work, even if there is a significant risk they may be COVID positive.
Correct. And the measures within the workplace are such that the 95 and goggles, the 95 mask and goggles are never to be removed. There's no common area for staff that should be isolating that have been recalled. There's no area for them to go where they can remove that mask safely to have a drink or have something to eat. Not allowed to use common areas, not allowed to go anywhere. So basically minimise the risk completely of the possibility that you may be infectious and could actually take out your colleagues by being at work, by having one exposure. So of strict, strict rules on not removing any protection.
What's your assessment of the situation in hospitals in New South Wales right now?
Oh, look, I am confident in saying that the prevailing sentiment amongst the nurses and midwives at the moment is that hospitals should not be considered a frontline. I strongly believe that should be seen with free tests and availability of risk mitigation.
So has that changed for you? Because, you know, we often call you frontline health workers, but really the front line for COVID up until very recently has been the testing, the contact tracing. But those testing pressures are so great now, what you're saying, you're often the first line of defence.
Yes. Yes. And honestly, as I said, it really is quite a prevailing sentiment. And it's come about from conversations and surveys and feedback from across the state, and not just amongst myself and my own colleagues, but from those that are working in similar areas. And just that sentiment is hospitals aren't frontline. They're there to treat people and manage diseases and emergencies. And our emergency departments are buckling. And, solutions really should lie in the leadership.
What do you mean by the emergency departments are buckling?
The emergency departments, as with every other ward and specialty in a hospital, hasn't ceased. So actually since the pandemic started, our workloads have significantly, if not moderately, increased. And we've seen this in roster shortfalls and increase in patient numbers regardless of their diagnosis. So the pressure's never off. And our EDs, they've never been able to relax or really catch their breath. It has just been a constant stream of more and more. That's the front door of your hospital. Anybody who gets admitted from there is still going to go and feel these pressures in the wards and the ICUs.
Because governments are saying that hospitalisations and people in intensive care units are still, you know, well below what they were at the peak of Delta, and that hospitals are in a good position to manage what's to come. What do you say to that?
It's a hard pill to swallow, to be fair. Your presentation to hospital and your usage of specialty areas like intensive care, it's got nothing to do whether or not you're got a diagnosis, secondary as it might be, say with COVID, is that surgeries were still happening. Patients were still having heart attacks and arrests and other very grave illnesses that required the services. So it's not like the admissions just stopped when Delta settled down. They kept coming, and the communities and the patients, they're sick. They need that service, but the workforce itself is quite skeleton compared to what it could be if there was a greater investment recruitment and stabilising workforces.
We're hearing some claims in New South Wales that the hospital numbers are somewhat inflated because they include people who present to hospital with other conditions, say a broken bone, and are then determined later to have COVID, or at the time to have COVID, which means they've at that point got a mild case of COVID. They didn't even know they had it, but are being counted as a COVID case in hospital.
Correct. Not everybody in hospital that's diagnosed with COVID presented to hospital because of a respiratory or upper respiratory illness. They were there for other reasons and other conditions, and it was a secondary finding that they actually had the virus.
But they still then need to be treated very carefully, don't they, and take a lot more care.
Correct. So we've one thing all the LHDs have managed to do is find out what worked well and what didn't when it came to infection control and how we manage the trigger points for various presentations of infectious diseases. I think healthcare workers are exceptional in there, and in all of ours, we're very good with our infection control. And that is found in the statistics when you find what in-hospital transmissions may have happened.
Indeed, because we need to be clear, even though it's a somewhat scary picture that you paint regarding our hospitals, we don't want anyone avoiding hospital care if they need it.
No. If you are unwell and you need the hospital, you need to come. You don't want to be sitting at home battling with something that you can't manage with Panadol and Nurofen, or if it's a broken bone or something more sinister. It's just a pressured stress system that you're coming into. So remember to be kind to your clinicians. It's frustrations are there with us as well as with those that we look after, because we may not be able to treat you as quickly or see you as quickly as you would like.
Michelle Rosentreter, thanks so much for talking to us. Hope you feel better.
Thank you so much. Take care.
That's Michelle Rosentreter, a senior ICU nurse and a member of the New South Wales Nurses and Midwives Association.